You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on Passover, April 22nd, 2024. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve as we celebrate the Lord's Passover.
I asked Robin today, I've heard preachers preach about your rewards in heaven, and they made heaven as materialistic as the earth. I have one reward in heaven. You're sitting there. Your treasure is where your heart is. My reward's here. And if it all goes well, my reward will be there. And it's my job to live that way, speak that way, pray that way, believe that way. To live in a way that my grandchildren and my children absolutely know that I know Jesus. Evident. Not that I know a lot about him, but that I know him. Be shod with the readiness of the gospel. It's a generational thing. You see in the Passover, when you get over into a couple other places talking about the Passover, he tells them, you keep this as an everlasting ordinance so that annually at this particular time, you can tell your children when they ask, why are you doing this? Well, it's the Lord's Passover. This is what Jesus has done for us. I wonder how many households in America today claim to be Christian have taken the time to sit down with their children just one time in their life and tell them face to face what the Lord has done for you, what the blood of Jesus means to you, what the bread of life means to you. I think America would be a different place if we didn't drop them off so much, but just took them home. In Matthew 26, verse 26, Jesus fixed to be crucified. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. He'd sent them to town to set up for the Passover. Here's the significant thing about Passover. This is why some of this stuff is really important. You had the Passover in Exodus 12. 430 years later, when Joshua crosses the Jordan, we'll see this in Scripture in a minute. It's the Passover. It's the Passover, the fulfillment of the promise. When Jesus heads to town to be crucified, it's the Passover. And so they've set up to eat their Passover meal, and while they were eating, Jesus took bread. He blessed and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Remember now, they're on this side of the cross. Hadn't happened yet. That's got to sound a little weird and a little bit peculiar. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I'll not drink of this fruit of the vine until now, from now on until the day when we drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. You know there's a wedding feast coming. That night at Passover, he lived out in front of them right quick what John the Baptist said in the first chapter of John. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He took that bread and broke it. This is the Lamb. And he's going to bleed. And here's the blood. It's our Passover. The only way the angel of death does not rob your soul is by the blood of the Lamb. Your deliverance is by the blood of the Lamb. We get to 1 Corinthians 5. For some of you tonight, this is the first time you've ever heard some of this. You know why? The traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. It'll hide the word of God. Traditions of men will hide the word of God. If you don't think Christianity is not indoctrinated today, just stop and think about this. Do you know in your town every non-Christian knows what you Christians do? They know where you park your car and where you park your carcass. They know what day you do it on. They know which ones are going to be the first ones to lunch and which ones are the last. Your waitresses know which tribe you belong to by your giving. Just leave it at that. So when we're talking about the leaven and we're talking about getting things right in verse 6, verse 6 of chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, he said, your glorying is not good. It's a message for America. The whole world calls you a Christian nation. In the name of Jesus, it's time to act like it. Your glorying's not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was crucified for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven or with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What do we do periodically in Christianity that represents Jesus? We take communion, don't we? It's a representation of truth. Does that not represent Jesus? Jesus is revealed. I'll get to that here in just a minute, but one of the most significant things about the sacrament is the revealing of Jesus. He said, I'm the truth. He said, not in the old leaven, but in the new and the new lump. And he said, if the lump is just a little bit leavened, it's messed up the whole lump. If the root is bad, the fruit becomes bad. We have things that we do in Christianity today that we now believe is pure and true. And if you'll go back and study and figure out a few things, you'll find out where it came from. It did not come from God. It came from men. And the institutions of men are doing us a huge favor today in America. They're sending us home. We're wanting to teach our own, doctor our own, put our money in a can and bury it in the backyard. And now all of a sudden we're going to go home and raise our children in the admonition of the Lord as we find Jesus ourselves. Sincerity and truth. We got to quit lying to each other. I don't want to pick on anybody's religion. Let me tell you, everything the church wants to fib about a little bit today, Jesus fixed. And the reason we live so unfulfilled today is because we continue to act like he didn't finish it. Jesus Christ has become our Sabbath, according to Hebrews 4. I find my rest in him on every day that ends in Y. Now, I know there's people going to have a hard time with that, but I'll be glad when you figure it out because your life changes. He completed my guilt sentence. There is no such thing as a day of worship. Find that in the Bible. You'll find a day of rest. There is no such thing as the house of the Lord. There's my Father's house. He said, I went there to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back. We're the house. You're the house. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that I am the house of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2 says that you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Over here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul has to give some directives to the church of Corinth. Carolyn reminded me how biblical we were tonight, because in Corinth, they got to taking communion and getting full and getting drunk, and oh, it would turn into communion, turned into quite a thing here. Well, we fixed that for you people. We got you full before you get up here. And if anybody gets drunk on this tonight, you're a cheap date, I'll just tell you. It's the good stuff, but it's Welch's. But he was having a little trouble with them. And so in verse 27, this is very important. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You see, there is no longer a time to examine the lamb. The lamb's already been examined. My Father in heaven examined his Son and found him worthy for all the sins that are represented everywhere. His grace was sufficient. But the Bible does say that we now, and I'll get into this when we get to first fruits right quick, we have become a living sacrifice. So every day, I should ask the Lord to examine me. Just to give you a little heads up as I proceed on, Rob and I learned how to take communion at the house when I had leukemia about 5.5 years ago, whatever it was. And we found it to be very beneficial. And about the same time, we'd learned how to honor Passover. We've seen a lot of fruit in that. We knew that sharing together at home was a good thing. So we gave it a lot of good lip service. Well, Christians are good at that. That's exactly what we did. Until the Lord in the last few weeks brought me full circle in this teaching. Since that time, Robin and I have begun to every morning, except Sunday. We missed yesterday. But you won't get shot out of the pew for that. But we began to take communion together every morning. Just for the simple purpose, not to be religious. Not to create another tradition of men, but to just enjoy the traditions and directives of God. You see, in the Bible, he tells them with the communion, do this as often as you think of me. Do this as often as you remember me. You might remember I walked into Bible study a few weeks ago, and I said, I want to ask you guys something. Who decided it was my job to tell you when you're going to remember? It's not my job to do it for you. I can do a lot with you. And we went home. It's the most powerful thing that's ever happened in my life. The last 10, 12 days. We take that simple. She gets a little fancy cup, and I like to... I told her, I said, I need more blood than you do. Give me a bigger glass. And I like to swish it around and look at it. We get them little old crackers, and we don't keep them behind a gold box or anything. We just keep them in the pantry. And I like to look at that little cracker. This morning, I couldn't take it because I thought about Jesus on that night. He's the only guy in the room that knows what's fixing to happen. And he holds up that bread. And he takes that cup. This, boys, is going to save your life. Believing in me is going to save your life. Do this as often as you think of me. The most effective thing that's happened in my life, I feel like, in the last 2 weeks, is not only looking at the sacrifice and not only examining the blood, but when I stop and say, Lord, examine me. Today I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to present everything in my life to you every day as a first fruits offering. First fruits are important. So examine me, Lord, and find, when you find a blemish, let's rub it out. I really want to be different, Jesus. I've preached my toenails off for 28 years. Finally, I found peace. It'll be up to you to find yours. I'm just going to tell you how I got there. Some things that are really important, not only self-examination, but you know, one of the other things that happened at Passover, a lot of communities such as ours experienced Holy Week about 3 weeks ago. You know the part they leave out, one of the most important things in Holy Week that happened that nobody wants to talk about? How many of y'all know about him riding in on a fresh donkey? How many of y'all know about palm branches? Some of y'all even got stuff you did on Thursday and then you got Good Friday. How many of y'all have ever had a preacher tell you about cleansing the temple? You know, he did that right after he cursed the fig tree on his way to town. He cleansed the temple. He did it twice. The first time he showed the whole world how they could be. He took some big jugs of water and turned them into wine. The first miracle of the Bible. He showed the whole world that you can be full to the brim of the things of God, complete and finished. And he cleansed the temple that very same time. Then he came back and did it again at Passover. He cleansed the temple. Here again, who's the temple? God doesn't dwell in buildings built by human hands. He said so himself. Shoot, this place right here is a pretty good place to hang out, but it was a Mexican dance hall, and before that it was an irrigation pump thing, and then before that it had a burr pit under there where that low spot is in the middle, and the women's bathroom. If you go home and you can't find your wife, she might have fell to China. You don't know. I mean, there's a hole over there. This place is a mess. Doesn't matter. This is where we hang out for a minute. This isn't where God hangs out for a minute. This is where we hang out. So he goes on and it's all about in John 2, Mark 11, Luke 19. But here's a scripture I want to read to you right quick that I believe is so important for all of us today. We stood on this during COVID-19. During COVID-19, those of you that remember, you know that we stood on the Passover and we stood on this very scripture. I'll find it here in a second. It's Hebrews 11:28. Talking about Moses. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses, by faith, kept the Passover. He understood the sprinkling of blood. Tonight when we share at the table, you get another chance to look at the blood that keeps the destroyer out of your life so that the firstborn, the generations are protected. It's all part of the promise. What did he say? We'll give you a family and we'll give you generations. Give you a place to hang out. When it comes to America in 2 Chronicles 30, there's a guy named Hezekiah. His dad was king and he was a knucklehead. And then when they come Hezekiah's turn, he's done found God. He's a godly man. Murphy shared this with me, and I mean the best share. I'd known it and just need to be reminded. Maybe that's what we all need, just be reminded. And for a minute, I thought you had to get the dates and everything right, and everybody's sharing with me all their stuff and things they know, and it's got me overwhelmed. I don't want to read 20 calendars. I'm going to a team rope it. Hezekiah was a month late. But in order to save Israel, he got rid of the Asherah poles, he got rid of the idols, and he reinstituted Passover. He was a month behind, so he said, we'll just do it on the 14th of the next month. You know what I'm starting to figure out about God? Hey, even if you're not religious, if you'll try. Just try. Ain't that right, Duke? Yeah, some of us old boys mess up a lot of stuff. Some of us, you keep us in the building too long, we're like a bull in a china closet. There's a lot of guys sitting around here and listening on that thing today that are trying. They love their God, they love their country, and most of all, they love their family. And this right here will save it. This will save it. The fulfillment of the promise was Joshua. I'm going to turn back over to Joshua, and I'm going to hang out there a minute. I promise we're just about done. In Joshua 1, when he crosses over to Jordan, it's at the Passover. It's the fulfillment of the promise. It's the land of Canaan that now becomes the land of Israel. The angel of the Lord met with Joshua right there in chapter 1 after God had told him, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. You see, that was what was so important about Joshua and his buddy Caleb. There was 12 spies from Israel that looked over the promised land and came back and told them what they couldn't do. How many of you have been told by that little voice in your head, that little voice that's been haunting you for a long time, of what you can't do? Yet my Bible says with Christ all things are possible. We can do it. If you continue to live unfulfilled, you continue to live like you still owe him something, you continue to live like you're not quite finished yet, you don't understand, so you're still trying to check the boxes, you're still trying to do the right things so that you'll have the favor of God, you got to understand the word finished. Make sure it's finished in you. And that day Joshua crossed over and it was finished. And the Lord told him, wherever you place your foot, I now give you. I don't have to go to a certain place to fellowship with God. It will be everywhere I place my foot. And that means my house, my home, my barn, my place of business. Wherever I go, I'm accompanied by the Spirit of the living God. Chapter 5. The angel of the Lord comes again, meets with Joshua, says, take your shoes off, Joshua, for where you stand is holy ground. Do you know where you stand is holy ground? Why does America today seem so unholy? Has God's people not placed their foot? Are we not in that communion with God? He said, wherever you place your foot is now holy, for I'm with you. And from that point on, no longer would a man look for sustenance from heaven, but out of the very land that God gave them would become the abundance of sustenance. It's called farming. We know a little bit of farming and ranching around here. That's the main juggler of America. You know, the lifeblood of America is in the heartland of America where we do farming and ranching. And they brought forth a harvest and they began to do wave offerings of potential. Do you know how much potential you have? Do you know that you're first fruits? If you're first fruit, then you should bear fruit. I should bear fruit. First fruits in modern day church today alludes a lot to money. First fruits has nothing to do with money. Church made it all about money. Corporate church made it all about money. Religion made it all about money. But it's about produce. It's about the reproductive process. That you put a seed in the ground according to God. And once that seed has been watered and taken care of, it brings forth more seed. It multiplies. The kingdom of God should be multiplying. You see, the only way the kingdom of God expands is by living stones. Changing of people's lives. You're a type of first fruits. It's just like the money thing. It's another one of the modern day lies. Money has never been seed. If you think money is seed, bury a $100 bill in the backyard and come by and water it every day. When you come back next year, you'll have a moldy $100 bill. It will have produced nothing. Don't let your life be the same way. Because you are seed. You are the reflection of Jesus. Leviticus 23 talks about, I'm not going to turn there, but talks about first fruits, and you'll find some things in first fruits that you found in the Passover. You'll find first fruits being about your dwelling, where you dwell.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.